Alright, we're going to start with the Mishnah on the top of Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ketzav Nevada, how does one nullify, how does one take away the shame of Avodah Zarah from this item? So one, Kata Rosh Ozna, he cut off the top, you know, top of its ear, Rosh Chutma, or the cut of its nose, Rosh Etzba'a, or its fingers, Pachsa, Afalpoy Shelo Chisra, he crushed it, pounded it down, even though nothing is missing, Bitla, in all of those cases, he is Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, Rakak Mifanaha, he spits in front of it, Ishtin Mifanaha, urinates in front of it, Garura, he drags it, and Muskara Betit, that he drags it through the cement, the dirt, Zarak Bat, that's why he throws excrement at it, Arizu Eina Bitela, that is not Bitel, that does not constitute a Bitel in the Avodah Zarah. Now, Machra or Mashkina, if he sells it, or puts it up for collateral, Rebbe Omer Bitel. Rebbe says that's a nullification of the Avodah Zarah, because he's using it for such mundane matters, or he's treating it in such a way that he's willing to sell it and to put it up as collateral. Chamim, Amim, lo Bitel. That is not Mevatel, and we'll see in the Gemara what the Machlokas is. So Gemara says, Kilo Chisra, B'mai Bitlo. Well, if it's not missing anything, then why is it Batel? That's talking about the instance of Pachsa, where he crushes it. When he crushes it, it's not missing anything. Why is it Batel? So Amar Zer should pachsa b'faneha, that he crushed its face. So when he crushed its face, he took out the tzura of the face, the tzura of the idol, and therefore it's no longer, that's what the bittul is, it's no longer classified as an idol. Now rakach b'faneha, v'ishtim b'faneha, how do we know, min ha'anemile, how do we know that those are not considered to be nullification of the Avodah Zarah? When you spit at something, when one urinates in front of something, those are acts, right, of denigration, and acts that indicate that one does not hold the item in high esteem anymore, so then why isn't it considered bitul? It says, because Amar Chizkiya Damakor with Apostle from Yishayahu, Apostle says, Vaya ki yirav vihit katzaf, and when he is hungry, he'll be angry, vikil elbil malko ubelohav. He'll curse his king and his god, ufanala mala, and then he will turn his head upward. Here's a person, meaning this is talking Latid Lavod, the person will forsake the Avodah Zarah, he'll realize how meaningless the Avodah Zarah is, and then he'll be a Baal Tshuva and turn lamalo, he'll look up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu for his help. Uchti Batrei, and then it just says further on, right, the next verse, Eretz Yabit, Vinei Tzara V'chashecha, that he'll look down to the earth, and it's dark and painful. So now the Gemara says, "The Afagav, the Kilo Malkov Elohav." Despite the fact that he had just cursed his king and his God, nevertheless, Fanala Malo, and he looked up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu to his first salvation. Nevertheless, El Eretz Yabit. Eretz Yabit means he looks back down to earth. Back down to earth means that he's still looking at his, looking for his Avodah Zarah. So
he worships.
Right. He goes back to worshipping the Avodah Zarah, despite the fact that now he had turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he had done Tshuva, and he was Mevazeh, the Avodah Zarah, being Mevazeh, or Bizui, the Avodah Zarah, is not sufficient to be classified as Bitul, because when the Psukim here, we see that they never really forsake it, they never really walk away, and they return back. They were returned back to their Avodah Zarah. I mean, you have to, in order for it to be Batel, you literally have to be Mevatel, the Avodah Zarah. You cannot simply be Mevazeh, the Avodah Zarah. And that's what we prove from the Psukim in Yishayahu. And now, Machro Mashkana, Rabbi Omer Bitel. So here's the Machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi when it comes to Machra or Mashkana. Ze'iri Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Verbir Mirbav Amar Rav. When we're talking about a non-Jewish smelter, that's where their machlokas is. But he sells it to a Jewish smelter, everybody agrees that it's batel. Because over here, at this point in time, the assumption is when you sell it to a smelter, when you sell it to someone who's working with the metals, then what is he going to do? He's going to melt it down. And he's going to use the metal for whatever purposes or sell the metal. So that's a question. If he sells it to a non-Jewish smelter, then we question what the intent of the buyer is. Is the intent of the buyer to use it and continue worshiping in Israel to smelt it down and use it for its metal. But he sells it to a Jewish smelter. There's an underlying assumption is that for sure the Jew is not going to keep the idol around and it's going to melt it down. So when he sells it to the Jewish, or when he gives it over as a mashkon to the Jewish smelter, everybody agrees that it's batel at that point in time. Now, the other opinion is, that even when it comes to a Jewish smelter, or when it is a Jewish smelter, there is a machloket. Now we're going to get a question, if I was right, about using the word even, which is ibalu. B'tzoref Torah v'Yisrael machloket, machloket is by a Jewish smelter, or b'tzoref Oved Chayim Dira Kol Lo Bitel. But he gives to a non-Jewish smelter, then everybody agrees that it's not to batel. Oh, Dilma Bein Bazeh, Ubein Bazeh machloket. And the other possibility is that it's Oz machlokes in both of these cases. So let's see, what do we have an answer to the possibility that this addresses the issue? There is some machlokes here about what the girsa should be. We have the girsa, the Rashi's girsa over here, which is the Gemara continues onwards, and it seems to be that the Gemara at this point is addressing or bringing a proof to this question, or addressing the question of whether the machlokes is simply by a Tzoref Yisrael, and by a Tzoref Oved Chayim, everybody agrees it's not batel, or is machlokes by both of them, and now the Gemara is going to bring a proof to that. There was an alternative girsa which the Rivan had, which said that the Gemara left as a teku now. The Gemara said teku, they asked this question, they say teku, and then the Gemara goes ahead, and afterwards says meteve, and then the next statement is a question, rather than a proof to this. Right, that's just so you know that there's alternative here. So we'll read, like Rashi, that this is a proof to the Gemara before. Tosfos at first, raises issues with Rashi's Pshat, and then later on defends Rashi's Pshat, or gives a possibility of how to explain Rashi's Pshat. So Tashma, Dama Rabbi. Rabbi says, Nirin Devarai, Kishimachra L'Chabala. My opinion makes sense when he sells it for, or to be destroyed. Divrei Chavirai, Shimachra L'Ovda, when he sells it to be worshipped. So the Gemara now wants to know, Maila Chabala, or Maila Ovda. What does it mean to destroy it, and what does it mean to worship it? Ilema L'Chabala Mamash. When you say that he's selling it to destroy it, that means literally to destroy it. Lo Ovda. To worship means L'Ovda Mamash, to worship it, for certain. Then we don't understand the respective opinions. If you're selling it, and he's selling it, and he knows the intent of the buyer is to crush it and to destroy it, then who wouldn't say that it's batel? On the other hand, if he sells it to the buyer, and the buyer is clear that he's going to worship it, then who would say that it is batel? So of course, nirin devarai and devrei chavirai, it doesn't make any sense, the statement of Rabbi. So now the Gemara says, we have to think about chavala and ovda in a different light. And so what is that? So it means, rather, look, elalav chabala l'mishatid l'chabala. Then what he means to be destroyed doesn't mean literally he'll destroy it, but someone who in the future will destroy it. Umanu, who's a person when you sell it to, will you assume they will destroy it? That's a Tzoref Yisrael. That's a Jewish smelter. Lo'ovda, what does it mean, lo'ovda? L'mishatid lo'ovda, someone who would generally worship such an item. And who is that? Manu Tzoref Oved Kochavim. That is a non-Jewish smelter. From this you conclude that the machlokus extends both to a Tzoref Yisrael and a Tzoref Oved Chochavim, because the statement of Rabbi is the Dama Rabbi nearing Tevarai Kishemachal L'Chabala V'Divrei Chavirai Shemachal L'Ovda. Now we're saying the word Chabala and Ovda means Tzoref Yisrael and Tzoref Oved Chochavim. That means that Rabbi is agreeing that he has a machlokas with the Chachamim in both of these instances. He just says, my opinion makes more sense in this instance, and their opinion makes more sense in that instance, but that the indications are that they argue in both instances. Mar says, look, Achi Kamar, this is how to read it. Amar Rabbi Nirin Dibrai L'Chaveirai Kishemachro L'Chabala. So now, Rabbi says, no, Nirin Dibrai, my words, my position makes sense to L'Chaveirai, to my friends, when he sells it to be destroyed, umanu, what's that mean? Let's serve Israel. Because my friends, meaning my counterparties, only argue on me when it comes to machal ovda, in a case where he sold it to worship it. But when it comes to Chabalah, they agree with me. So based on this reinterpretation of the Braisa, Rabbi basically says the Chachamim agreed to me when it comes to a Tzoref Yisroel, because the assumption is that it will be destroyed, and therefore it's batel. On the other hand, they argue on me, or our disagreement revolves around kishmach lovda when you sell it to a smelter ovi kochavim, which comes back to your point, David, which is that is their machlokas. Rabbi believes when you sell it to a smelter, that's what's going to happen to it. It's getting melted down, even if it's a goy. Chavim say no. If it's a goy, the likelihood is that he's going to continue to worship this avodah zarah rather than to melt it down, smelt it, and make it into a metallic form. Or at least we can explain it, yeah. At least only according to Ovid Kochavim. The machlokes is only by an Ovid Kochavim, we can explain it in that way. So for this reason, Tosos here has an issue with the way Rashi read the Gemara, is because from the conclusion of the Gemara, like you just said, it seems like this is actually a proof to the one who says that it's a machlokes b'toref Ovid Kochavim and a machlokes b'toref Yisrael. But what about the opinion before that said there were machlokes by toref Yisrael? That opinion over here seems to be not even addressed. Alright, Meitevei. Keach ruta ot min oiv de kochavim. Someone who takes pieces or chunks of metal, purchases chunks of metal from a non-Jew, umatza behen avodat kochavim. And then when he looks through the chunks of metal, in those chunks of metal, he finds a little idol that's in there. Imach lo natan ma'ot. If before he purchased it, paid for it, mashach, he did mashich on it, he achzir. He can back out of it. Since the transaction is not complete, give it back to the over the Ezra, back out of the transaction. Im mishenatan ma'ot, once he pays for it, mashach, and then he did mishicha, yolich liyam ha-melech. Then he should send it to Yam ha-melech. What's the problem here? So the problem, as Rashi points out, im natan ma'ot mashach, it's Rashi, it's about 5 lines from the bottom. First of all, Rashi says, yolich hana'ala yam ha-melech. What do you have to do? You have to exchange. It sounds like pidyon. By the way, it sounds like the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer earlier in the Mishnah. Remember, we had a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer where they can be pudeh of avodah zarah. The way Rashi is reading it is yolich hana'a liyam ha-melech. He doesn't say you actually take the idol to the yam ha-melech. He says you take the hana'a, the value, to the yam ha-melech, which sounds like you are pudeh, the item, you throw the money into the yam ha-melech. Vein rashad lach zira, says with David, why can't you give it back? They told ma'utav. It's a mekach taot. You had no idea there was a avodah zarah here. You didn't intend to buy a avodah zarah. You intend to buy chunks of metal. And all of a sudden you see this image in there. Nobody mentioned it before, so why should you not give it back? So since he already paid for it, if he goes back and returns it to him, it looks like he's selling it to him. I mean, that even true that here you have a mekach taot, and the mekach taot should allow you to reverse the transaction. The problem is when you go get credit, it looks like you are selling it, not reversing that previous transaction. It looks like you're now giving the idol and he's paying you money for it. So because of the way it looks, we don't want you to reverse the transaction.
It would be more so that the guy, when he sold it, it was also mekach taot on his end. He didn't want to
do it. Yeah, that's what the Gemara is assuming, that he doesn't even know about it.
Exactly the opposite. The fact that he sold it together with the kudot is a proof that he was about it.
Right, that assumes that he knows it was there, right? Imart bishlama b'tzorif Yisrael machloket. If you say, like the opinion that by tzorif Yisrael there's a machloket, hamani, who's the author of this? Breita, rabbonani. Then it's the rabbonan who say that when it comes to a tzorif Yisrael, even when a tzorif Yisrael buys it, the underlying assumption is that it remains as avodah zarah. So here the Gemara is assuming, like you, David, that the Ovid Kochavim knew about it. He sold it to the Tzorif Yisrael, and nevertheless, he's still maintaining that it is Avodah Zarah. If you say that it's only by Machloket by Ovid Kochavim, but Tzorif Yisrael, I call Bitel, when he sells it to a Jewish smelter, everybody agrees it's Bitel. Hamani, who's the author of this position? This Jew who's buying it is the equivalent of a Tzorif Yisrael. And this is an important thing. The Tap Tosa says this. Tosa says when we're talking about Tzorif Yisrael or a Jewish smelter, it's not literally a Jewish smelter. It means any Jew. Because the underlying assumption is that a Jew will not worship Avodah Zarah, and they will melt it down, or they will do something with it that is not to keep the Avodah Zarah. So Tav Tosa says, "Lav dafka tzareif, afilu she'enu tzareif, nami, d'chol Yisrael l'gabei Avodah Chavim k'tzorfim." A Jew relative to a non-Jew is like a smelter. I mean, that's how they view it. And his proof is from our breakthrough that we just brought over here, which is by the Gutrot. There it says, somebody doesn't say that it was a Tzareif who bought it. It just says any Jew who bought it. Yet the Gemara assumes that he has the same din as a Tzareif Yisrael. So that's also proof that a Tzareif Yisrael and Yisrael are the same category, the same status. So over here, if you say that Divrei HaKol by a Tzareif Yisrael, meaning literally any Yisrael, that it's Batel, who's the author of this position that the Jew has to return it, has to throw the Hanah, the Yam HaMelech? So when it says, Shiny Hatom, the answer is, like what Gedalia said before, is the Adata, the Gruto Zovin, Adata Rechavim Lo Zovin. When the Ovid of Avodah Zarah sold it, he was selling crushed metal. He did not notice the Avodah Zarah was in there. He didn't intend that necessarily to sell the Avodah Zarah. Since he did not intend to sell the Avodah Zarah, maybe we will say over there that he was not the Batel, or was not the Batel, the Avodah Zarah. But, had he known about it, and he sold it, the underlying assumption would be Divrei HaKol that it is Batel. So this does not necessarily undermine that position that by Yisrael, Divrei HaKol, it is Batel, and the Machlokes by Tzareif Uvei Chachavim. Because in this case, this is an unusual case where he doesn't know that he sold it. He doesn't know that he sold it, that we're not involved in this issue at all. Because he never had, if he didn't have a mind to sell, he couldn't have had a mind to be Mevatelet. Tanur Banan, Lava Aleha, if you lend money on it, meaning you use it as the collateral, Shenafla Lema Polet, buried under a pile of stones or something that fell on it, a house that collapsed on it, Oshin Ganvu Alistim, or was taken away by marauders, armed robbers, Oshin Ichua Balim, or the owner of it left it behind, and he goes on a long trip, they go overseas, he leaves his avodah zarah behind and goes overseas. If they intend to return like the Milchama of Yeshua, because they left it at home because they plan on coming back home, then it's not Batela. That's why. Okay, very good. So that's the Mar here is going to go through all the Chidushim of all those cases, and it's going to say that it's Eina Batela in all of these cases. So if they are Milchamet Yeshua, if the Eina is going to come back like Milchamet Yeshua, Eina Batela, in all these cases, is not Batel. Now, can Milchamet Yeshua be known? Wait a minute. Nobody came back home. They killed them all. The Moraim who came to fight Yeshua, they're all dead afterwards. What does it mean that they're going to come back like Milchamet Yeshua? Ah, very good. So when they left for the battle, they did think they were coming home. And that makes a difference. We'll see in a second. Mitzricha. Diyatana Lavaleha. Had the Breita simply mentioned Lavala that he lent on it. Midlo Zavna Lo Batlo. Maybe because he didn't sell it, it's not Batel. But if something fell on a big pile of rocks or a house collapsed on it, since he doesn't go in and dig it out and get it, maybe I would think that it's Batel. Tosfos just points out here that this whole Gemara over here that we were speaking about, that Lava, right, that he lent out the money, that's according to Rabbi and not according to the Chachamim. Because the Chachamim in the Mishnah already told us that Machra lo bitel. If he sells it, it's not even batel. Then certainly if he's lavale, if he lent money out on it as a mashkon, then certainly he's not mevatel it. So Tosfos says that that means that this Gemara, or the whole flow of this Gemara is going a libid to Rabbi. According to Rabbi who says that when you're mamashkano bitel, so then that Mishnah, that Breita comes and says, no, lavale, if he lent the money on it, then it's not batel. So Tosfos proves from here that there's different types of mashkon. In that if he lends money with the assumption that the Avodah Zarah is the mashkon, that's not enough to be mevatel it even according to Rabbi. What is it? It's only when, and Tosfos terms like this, the Rebbe Hainu Shenishtka Ka'a. That's only when the mashkon stayed for a long time. That either the Jew ended up having to collect out of the mashkon, or the mashkon was there because he missed the deadline for payment. And at that point in time, we say it's batel. But just simply the fact that he borrowed money, or that he was borrowing money using this as collateral, or assuming that this would be collateral, is not enough to be batel, even according to Rabbi. Rabbi requires it that the bitul is because he thinks he's going to lose it. He's going to lose it because it's either stayed there for a long time, or it's already, he's missed the deadline for the payment of the loan. Then we assume that he's batel it because he's not going to get it back. We assume he's not getting it back at that point in time. V'i tana nafla lemapolet. Had you just told me about the case where the pile falls on it, it's buried under something, the house collapsed on it. Mishum desover hamanchat, and I'm going to leave it behind. Kolim et debinala shakinala, because it's not going anywhere. If I want to get it out, I can get it out. So the reason I'm not mevatel is true. I'm not going after it to look for it right now, but I know where it is. I can always get it. Aval ganvu alistim. When the robbers walk off with it, then Mindalok Mahadar, that he's not chasing them down, because he doesn't know where it is anymore. He's not going to be able to find it. If he doesn't chase them down, he's never going to get it back. So tricha, therefore I need that tricha. V'itano ganvu alistim, had I only been in the case, or had I gone to the case of the robbers, mishum desavar, yovei kachavim shakilo polech, miflach polechla. If it was a non-Jewish robber, he's probably worshipping it anyway. V'Yisrael shakla, adid damei yakarim, izavnila leovei kachavim. And if a Jew took it, he's not going to keep it around, because he stole something that's very valuable, he's going to sell it off to a non-Jew, and that non-Jew will worship it, polechla. On the other hand, if the owners leave it behind and they go overseas, the fact that he didn't take his avodah zarah with him is an indication that he's mebatal it, because wasn't important enough to him for it to take on his trip. The fact that he left it behind is an indication that he is mebatal it. So that's why we need all the cases. All those cases tell us ain't a batela. None of these actions make it batel. And again, each one's building on the previous one. It's a tzricha. If you only told me one, I may not have known the second. If I told me the two, I wouldn't know the third. Because each one of them is a bigger chiddush as you move along, the fact that it's not batel. So now Gemara wants to dissect that piece of the bread. It says, "Imatidim lachzor kim lechemet Yeshua ina batela." So Gemara says, "Mida lechemet Yeshua, mida hador." What are you talking about? By the lechemet Yeshua, nobody went back. So how can Gemara? "Imatim lachzor, harihu kim lechemet Yeshua." If in the future they will return, meaning that the Balim will go overseas, will return, they have the same din as Mechemet Yeshua, Ve'im La'Batela, and it's not Batel. Why would you talk about Mechemet Yeshua at all? Okay, just tell me. If he's going to come home, it's not Batel. If he's not going to come home, then it is Batel. So Mar says, Milta Gavorche Kamashmalan. That as a sidebar, the Tana is teaching us a din about Mechemet Yeshua. That is, Kitama Rav Yehuda Marav. Israel shezakaf levena ishtachavota. A Jew who places a brick upright to bow down to it. Uva ovi chachavim. A non-Jew comes and jumps the gun, vishtachavota, and bows down to it. Asra, he makes it a sur. So even though in general you're not allowed to be oser, someone else's property, because someone else bows down to your brick, doesn't mean your brick is an avodah zarah. He doesn't have a right to be oser, your property. But over here, by you placing it in a position where you wanted to worship it, you indicate your pleasure or being pleased with someone worshiping it. So when the Obed Avodah Zarah goes and jumps in and worships it, it's as if he's doing shlichutcha. It's as if he's doing your shlichut by going bang down to it, because that's what you indicated by placing it there as the Avodah Zarah, that you wanted something like that to happen. So Umar says, Malolon Dasra, how do you know that? How do you know that's true? So Amar Rav Elazar, Kitchila Shel Eretz Yisrael. It's like the beginning of Eretz Yisrael. Where is that? The Amar Rachmona. The Pasuk says, V'as Ashereihem Tisrifun Beish. You have to burn down their Ashereim. You have to get rid of their Avodah Zarah when you go into Eretz Yisrael. Michtei. This is a great Gemara. Yerusha Hi Lahem Avotehem. Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, was owned by Abraham. Hashem gave it to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So they already owned the land. Well, if they own the land, and we're talking about an asherah that grew, a tree that grew on that land, who does that tree belong to? That belongs to them. It belongs to the Jews. If that's the case, how could they make the asherot into something that's a surah if they don't own it? It's not theirs to make it a surah. Oh, I have an idea for you. What about those Asherot that preceded the promise by Hashem to give Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, to Avram Avinu? So Enoch and Nami, from the time that Avram Avinu got possession of the property and onward, nothing matters, because they can't be Oser Dabar Shino Shalom. But what about those Asherot, or those trees that pre-existed the promise to Abraham? So those trees, that he didn't own necessarily, and they could be made into Asherot. Or they were already made into Asherot, and therefore when Abram gets it, he gets it as a Avodah Zarah. So where it says, Bevitula ba'alma sagluhu. That's not a problem. We can get rid of that Avodah Zarah, no problem. You just get a goy, and you can force the goy to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. As Rashi points out, that we saw earlier in the Gemara, that you're allowed to force a goy to be mevatel the Avodah Zarah. You can tell him, be mevatel this Avodah Zarah, and it works. So you can get rid of that. You can just do bitul over here. So now, why does the Torah require you to burn down the Asherot? One is, if they were two before the Zman that Avram got the Eretz Yisrael, just have a goy be mevatelim. If it's after Avram got Yisrael, you don't even need that. It was owned by Avraham Avinu, it was owned by the Jews, so the goy has no right to make it into a Avodah Zarah. So why do we have a demand in the Torah to burn up the Avodah Zarah? Ella, this is an unbelievable thing. Midapalchu Yisrael le'egel. Once the Jews worshipped the Egel, galu adatayu denechlu b'avodat kochavim. They made an indication that they were pleased that worshiping a Bodhi Zara was pleasing to them, and that they would have
any of those.
Right. Oh, so that's the question. Gemara says, wait a minute, that's the ego. Who says that when the non-Jews come and worship the Asherot in Eretz Yisrael, they're doing the bidding of the Jews in the Midbar who are worshiping the ego. So Achanami, so in our case also, Israel Shazakaf Levena, Gal Yadate, Denechalev, Omer Chavim, Chiat Omer Chavim, Polakla, Shekutate, De'avid. So now, the same thing by the brick. The brick works the same way like with the Jews in the Midbar. They indicated that they were happy with the Avodah Zarah. Then when someone else does it on their behalf, it becomes a surah. So too by the brick. The Jew is indicating he's going to worship it. Someone else worships it. He's basically done the bidding of that Jew. So now the question that David just asked, who says that they wanted to worship all of Avodah Zarah in the world? They wanted the ego. Who says they wanted an alternative of Avodah Zarah? So why should you go then and say everything in Eretz Yisrael is a surah because of that? Where it says, Amakra, Eile Elohecha Yisrael. When they say about the ego, this is your God, Ben Yisrael, Muhammad, Evil, Elohot, Harbei, that they were desiring many gods. They were desiring all types of Avodah Zarah. So that's why it's Eile Elohecha. And that these, everything, Eile, all of these are Elohecha, are your gods. So they're multiple gods.
Not Zu.
Right. They're not indicating the ego in front of them, but all of these. So, Ema Kol Dabahad Ego Nitasru. So let us say like this. Anything, any tree that existed, any Avodah Zarah that existed at the time of the ego, Eino Chanami, you're right, it's a surah because the Jews gave their consent or acquiescence to the fact that the non-Jew worships it. Mikan Veilech, but let's say after that point in time, Nishtare, it should be Mutar. Why? Because the Jews did Tshuva. They didn't, at the end, they said they rejected the ego and they did Tshuva. Once they did that, they were no longer indicating by proxy that they wanted Avodah Zarah to be worshipped by the other individuals. So that should mean anything after, post the ego, should be Mutar. So you know what the Gemara says? Man Mucha. How do you know? You can't tell. How do you know which trees or which Asherot, which Avodah Zarah existed by the ego and which existed afterwards? I mean, the fact is you can't make that determination. You can't make that distinction. Avodat Chochavim Shenichua Uvdeha. Avodah Zarah that was abandoned by its worshippers. B'shat Shalom, it was a peaceful time, Mutaret. Then it's okay, because the fact that they, of their own volition, left the Avodah Zarah is an indication that they were Mevatelet. On the other hand, B'shat Milchama, at the time of war, Asurah. We assume that the reason they left is because they were afraid, or because of whatever the circumstances were surrounding the war that they left. Had they been able to stay, they would have continued to worship this Avodah Zarah. So their leaving is no indication that they're Mevatel the Avodah Zarah. B'misiot Shel Melachim. So these platforms, these are stones that they used to put up, and upon it they used to rest the Avodah Zarah. They were bases or platforms for the Avodah Zarah, and then they used to bow down to it. Hare Elu Mutarot. They are Mutar, Mipnei Shema Midin Ota B'Shah Shem Lachim Ovrim, because they placed them or put them there when the kings pass by. The Gemara will explain what that means, but we'll see in a second. What the Gemara says is they used to have, when the king was going to come and travel a certain road, they used to place these bimusiot, they would get these stone these pedestals, or these stone platforms, put them down, and when the king come, they used to place the Avodah Zarah on the platform, or on that bimus, and he used to bow down to it. So they used to line up all these bimusiot along the way that the king was going to take, and then the king would bow down at each of the stops. So the Gemara is going to ask more about that in a second. So Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Av Amar Rav, Beit Nimrod, so what's Beit Nimrod, this week's parasha? Beit Nimrod is Migdal Bavel. When it comes to Migdal Bavel, what is the status of Migdal Bavel? It's called Beit Nimrod, because Nimrod is seen as the leader of that time or that generation, the leader of those that rebel against Hashem. So that's why it's called Beit Nimrod, Migdal Bavel. Harei hi ki uvadat kochavim, shinichu avda avishat shalom umutar. Migdal Bavel, all the people left it. They were dispersed over the land because HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed their bilbel sfatam, and therefore they leave. So Rabbi Rabbah Amarav says that the Migdal Bavel has a status of an Avodah Zarah that was abandoned by its worshippers in a time of peace. So Tamir, they had to abandon it, they all left, and it was a time of peace. So Gemara says, wait a minute. Afa gav dechi badrinu rachmano. Right, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that caused them to disperse. Why would you assume the fact that they left the Migdal Bavel, that they left of their own volition? They left because Hashem was Mevalbel Sfatam. So that should be the equivalent of war, where they're under duress. They left under duress. So where it says no, because he buy the mother hador. The fact is that here it's different. By war, you don't have the ability to return. The war, whatever the circumstances are, prevents you from being there. And then you can't return. On the other hand, by Migdal Bavel, Hashem dispersed them over the earth. But they had the ability, if they wanted to, if they so desired, to return to Migdal Bavel. The fact that they don't is an indication already that they were Mavatel. That is about Zarah. So that means, it's a negation that he was Mavatelet. So we see again, this week's parsha, Migdal Bavel, according to the Gemara here, was the intent of Migdal Bavel was to for Avodah Zarah, to worship Avodah Zarah, or some sort of Avodah Zarah. And number two is that the people had a right or an ability to return, if they really wanted to. After Hashem dispersed them, then they could have returned. Now, bimisiyot shel melachim arielu mutarim. When it comes to these bimisiyot, they are mutar. Mipnei, shemamidu otam b'shesh lachim ovrim. Mutarim, because they placed them there when the kings go by. They're mutar. Why is that relevant? Just because the king goes on that pathway, that makes it mutar. You're gonna bow. He's gonna bow down to him. He's gonna bow down to all these bimisiyot with the avodah zarah on it.
That's the only time. That's the reason it's mutar, because that's the only time that it's used.
Well, we use it once. It's avodah zarah. Great. You have avodah zarah that's used once. After pamachah shana, it's avodah zarah. What? So now you have avodah zarah. So Amar Rabbi Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Nach Gemar. Mipnei shemidim otam b'shesh melachim ovrim. Umelachim enachim derzu v'chol ukhim derech acheret. The Komrim, the priests go and place the avodah zarah along the way that the planned itinerary of the king is. But many times the king changes his mind, or they change the itinerary and he takes a different route. He takes a different route. When he takes a different route, they don't go and take down the bimisiyot, they just leave them there, they abandon them. So there's no indication, because the bimisiyot are put there, that they really believe or they ascribe any avodah zarah qualities to the bimisiyot, because there's a definite likelihood that they might just end up abandoning them and never using them for avodah zarah. Kiata ula yotiva bimsa pigima. When Ula came, he sat on one of these bimisiyot that was pagum, that was broken. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Ula, ha, Rabbi Shmuel d'amrei tarvayu bimus shenifgam asur. That a bimus that was had something missing from it, was cracked, right, or has a chunk taken out of it, still a sur. And even according to the one who says that they don't worship broken pieces of avodah zarah, we had a machlokas by shvarim, pieces of an avodah zarah. Do people worship those pieces, those units of the avodah zarah? Machlokas says yes or no. So he says even according to the one who says in general they do not worship broken pieces of avodah zarah, that's not true by bimus. The bimus, even when it's broken, they still worship it. Hani milei avodat kochavim dezilibei milsa. That's when he's talking about the avodah zarah itself. So it's a denigration that it's broken, or like you said before, the Gemara had indicated to us, if it doesn't take care of itself, it's going to take care of me. So that's why he's mevatelet the miflach shvarim. That's not who worships pieces of avodah zarah. Avahai lo ichbatle. But here by the bimus, it doesn't matter. It's a little broken. He has no problem worshiping it or bowing down to it. Samarlay, Ula responds to him, Man Yaiv Lanu Ma'afro the Rabu Shmuel, who can give us the dust of Rabu Shmuel, Malina and Ainin, and we'll fill our eyes with it. So you can read it one of two ways. You can read it as a positive or a negative. You can read it as a negative, which he was just poking fun of him. He says, who will give us the dust of Rabu Shmuel and fill our eyes with it? We have a different opinion, which he's about to say. Or he was saying it in a positive light. Oh, if we just had all the words of Rabu Shmuel here, and that we missed their Torah. But nevertheless, he says back to him, "V'ha Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlakish, Amrit Avayu." We have Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shlakish, who both say, "Bimush nifka mutar." A bimush that has been broken is mutar. "V'ha filu l'man d'amar ovdim l'shvarim." Even according to one who says they worship component parts or pieces of an avodah zarah after it's broken, "Ha'ani mila avodah chachavim." They came into paucha zilibei milsa l'bitula. Since he already worshipped it, to him it seems wrong to leave the avodah zarah, even when it's in pieces. He already ascribed powers to it. He already made it to avodah zarah. He's not going to be so willing to abandon it so easily, to drop it so easily. Avohani shakli the high mighty bimus achrino. By a bimus, it's easy to replace it. I mean, an avodah zarah is harder to replace because it's an image. It was done by a craftsman. A bimus is just a big stone that they place down there. So if this one's broken, they just come and replace it. It's an interchangeable part. It's not a difficult thing to exchange. Tanya Kavati, the Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish, of a brace that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan Mishlakish. that bimus shenivgam mutar, that a bimus that has been broken or has a piece missing from it is mutar. Mizbeach shenivgam asur ad shenateitz rubo. When it comes to mizbeach, even if it's missing a part from it, it's asur until you shenateitz rubo, until you take down the robe of the mizbeach. The robe of the mizbeach has to be dismantled for it to be batel, not just one piece missing from it. Ha echidami bimus, echidami mizbeach. What's a bimus and what's a mizbeach? So Rabbi Yochanan Ba'idi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, bimus even achat. A bimus is the equivalent of what we call a matzeva. It's a single stone platform that they use. Whereas a mizbeach is avanim harbeh. Mizbeach is constituted of many stones put together to create the mizbeach. So a mizbeach that's made up of component parts, that, but it's not batel when it's missing a part. You have to get rid of rove for it to be batel. On the other hand, the bimus, which is a single stone, if it's nifgam, then it's mevutal and he can replace it. Amar chizkia mikra. What's the pasuk that supports this? Now, the Gemara is not asking what supports that. It supports Rabbi Yochanan, but supports the Braita, which is bisum'o kol avnei mizbeach avnei gir. When is it batel? Is it Yishayot? It's after from Parshat Shmot. When is a avodah zarah batel? That is bisum'o kol avnei mizbeach avnei gir. When he makes the stones of the mizbeach like stones of chalk, minupatzot, that are ground down. Now, tons, I assume they mean lime. Like today, if you go up to the right, that's the caves here. You go up to the stalagmite caves. Right, they're made out. That's limestone. You can see that it just crushes, crumbles right under your feet. Anything limestone is very soft, and it's crushed. So that's what I mean. Avnei gir over here. So if you crush it down, the stone, you crush the stone that makes up the mizbechot, like avnei gir mefutzot, lo yakumo asherim vechamanim, and they will no longer upright or worship the asherim and the chamanim and the sun gods. If they're crushed like these stones of chalk, right? Lo yukumun, asherim v'chamanim. If they, then they will no longer be standing, meaning that they will no longer be used in worship of the asherim v'chamanim. Ilav, if not, yukumun, then they will be reused again. So when is the mizbeach nullified? When it's been pulverized, when it's been destroyed entirely. You have to destroy it entirely for it to be put out of usage. But you see here from the Pasuk in Yishayahu that even if they don't destroy it totally, the underlying assumption is yakumu, that they will still be used in service of the Avodah Zarah. So based on that, again, we have the conclusion that if it's a mizbeach, you need to destroy rov, or really get rid of it from its function, or functional purpose, and destroy it. Here the Pasuk in Yishayahu even says to crush it, the stones down, so it's no longer usable as an mizbeach. Whereas by the bimus, we saw for number one, the bimus is not necessarily classified as a avodah zarah because sometimes they abandon them. They don't even go down that route. They're placed in anticipation of the itinerary. And number two is it's nifgam. If it's got a chunk taken out of it, that bimus, we assume, is already needs batel because it's a single stone. A single stone that's nifgam no longer looks good, no longer is serving its purpose. And therefore, it is nitbatel, and also because we saw in the Gemara that it's an interchangeable part, something that's easy to replace, and therefore they are mutarot, or you can sit on them like Ula did over here. Alright, so we'll stop over here.